Hello, everyone. Welcome to Developing Palettes. I'm Aaron Loomis coming to you from the Ventura Cigar Company studio. And for the first time in the 2 years of Developing Palettes, Junlu is not with me today for this review recap. But I do have with me today Mr. John McTavish. How are you doing today, John?
I'm doing well. The weather's good. I have to say I'm sad that June is not on this review. I'm certainly not too trying to push him aside. but, you know. He wasn't able to make it, and I was, so right. Here we are.
So we'll do it anyway.
We'll do it anyway. We'll do it live.
So we're talking about the Partagas 1845 Extra Oscuro Rothschild. This is more of a Corona, 5.66 inches by 46. Comes out of the General Cigar Dominicana factory in the Dominican Republic. Wrapper is Connecticut Broadleaf. I was not able to find out any sort of listing for the binder, so we'll call it undisclosed. Fillers from the Dominican Republic, Honduras, and Nicaragua. Price point is a value-driven $6.29, and the cigar was released in August of 2017. So with all that out of the way, John, what was your smoking experience like?
So I have to say I was a little intimidated when I first lit this up. I mean, look at this cigar, and I think there's, you know, a lot of people look at a like dark, sort of rugged cigar, and they think, well, you know, this thing's going to beat me up because it's really intense. Mm-hmm. And so often that's not the case, and it's so funny that it's still ingrained in our heads that, you know, it's probably going to be this really aggressive cigar. I was really surprised at how nuanced it started out. I got a really dark chocolate with a lot of sort of velvety creaminess. The flavors are very subdued. I was expecting it to open with a lot of spice. It had spice, but the spice was like very subtle, very light. Really the first few draws, and I'd say the first half an inch, kind of took me by surprise. The one thing that I really noted here is that it had a really clean finish. And I don't necessarily think, I can't even think of a cigar, the last cigar I had that had like a really clean finish. It didn't have some sort of post-draw aftertaste like leather or earth or something. Mm-hmm. And they really didn't have any of that, which was kind of nice. There was some light pepper that did end up developing it, but again, not very strong. That dark chocolate evolved into a powdered cocoa, which was great. The middle third, everything kind of came into balance. So it's kind of one of those cigars where it starts out in the first third, it doesn't give you everything that's there. Everything kind of comes to the forefront in the second third, it finds its legs. And then the pepper kind of develops into a more rich, I would say, red pepper flake, which I enjoyed. And then it just kind of played around with the spices, some leather, some chocolate, throughout the middle third. And then, the last third didn't really change things up very much. The only thing I really got in the last third was some vegetal notes. Is still kind of the same flavor profile the middle third, which was good. Although the intensity did ramp up in the last third, which is kind of surprising. Burn was flawless for me. Ashes were holding on in about a 3/4 inch increment, which is pretty solid. And the draw was right in the aisle of the zone. It had a little bit of snugness to it, which is kind of where I want my draw rather than towards the open end. We're kind of talking before the show, the pre-light on this was kind of interesting because I think that Connecticut Broadleaf is what I would call rustic or rugged, because it has like this kind of almost, I don't want to say lumpy, but you know what I mean? It's like this kind of old Western rustic look to it.
Right.
And I'm positive that's on purpose because, you know, when I went down and got the tour of some of the Connecticut farms there and saw the broadleaf, I mean, that's kind of what they're going for. Had a really nice spicy cedar aroma. I mean, I'd say overall it was is a good experience. And the only comment I'd make, and well, actually, you know what? I'll make the comment after.
Perfect. So yeah, for me, the cigar started with like some wood, damp earth, a little bit of baking spice to it. Those flavors kind of started melding together a little bit better as the cigar was going along. Retro Hill was kind of a mix of wood and baking spice. And then as the third was coming to a close, some char joined in with that wood, and then the damp earth and the baking spice started kind of lightening up a little bit. Strength was just slightly above medium. Getting the second third, charred wood was still up front. Earth was a supporting note. Baking spice completely left the profile. Retro Hill was just kind of a lone oak note. A little further in, the char level was starting to pick up a little bit, and some mustiness was joining the profile. Still a little bit of earthiness in the background. And then as the third was coming to a close, that charred wood kind of remained up front with some earthiness and mustiness in the background. And that slightly above medium strength level. Final third, the mustiness was starting to increase a little bit, became even with the charred wood. Earthiness was really only detectable on the finish. At a half inch in or so, there was a little bit of a bite to that charred wood when the mustiness was still present at a pretty high level. A little further in, the charred and the musty levels started to increase some more even, and there was still a bite to the profile that was starting to cake my palate. That's how the cigar finished up, and still at the slightly above medium mark. In regards to the construction, I thought the burn was really good. A little bit wavy, didn't need any attention. Ash was holding about 1.25-inch increments for me, so that was pretty good. In regards to the draw, not so great. It was pretty snug the entire way. I don't think it caused any issues with flavor delivery, but it was very, I was very aware of my the draws as I was taking on this cigar. So what were your thoughts overall on this one, John?
I enjoyed it. I think the word I would use is surprised, which kind of maybe leans itself towards my bias, but I was surprised at how subdued and nuanced the flavors were. I was expecting it, especially with Connecticut Broadleaf. I mean, so many cigars with Connecticut Broadleaf are just kind of big and in your face, and that's how they're blended, and this was not at all what I experienced. Good value for smoking time. I got just under an hour and 27 minutes smoking time, which was good. I think what's interesting is, and I'll have to smoke because I've got the other Vitolas. I'm almost wondering how this is going to perform in a larger Vitola, because I feel like you're going to lose a lot of that Connecticut Broadleaf in the larger Vitolas. But the comment I'd make is that, man, we really need to go to get a Vitola council going. like you got to get your Vitola finalized and approved before calling it a rust job. Because come on, guys, these are pretty well-defined sizes. I mean, I'm not a manufacturer, but there are pretty historically defined sizes, and let's call a spade a spade. So overall, I'd say this was a good experience, for me.
Yeah, I thought it was just kind of an average experience. I mean, average flavor profile, really just kind of centered around wood and char. Final third, things really kind of went downhill for me. Had a tight, fairly tight draw, but other than that, the performance was pretty good. Burn was pretty much spot on. I would classify this as a yard cigar. I mean, I would smoke this if I wasn't going to pay any attention to it, and I just wanted to kind of have something in my mouth to chew on and, get a little bit of smoke output. But I'm not going to come to the cigar for flavor or anything like that. But, they can't all be winners. And, this was, overall average cigar. So getting into the scores, you gave it a 6.82. I gave it a 5 even. How do you think that matched up with your experience?
A little bit higher, I think, than what I was expecting. I would have kind of expected in the mid sixes. I think where this really developed delivered is the word I'm looking for. Where I think it really delivered is the price to flavor ratio. I think this is a big winner in terms of the flavors it's delivering at the price point it's delivering. Because, I mean, for those who aren't aware, Connecticut Broadleaf is extremely expensive to produce. And I don't often see anything with Connecticut Broadleaf that's really cheaper than $8. So if you can get something for under $8, especially in a smaller Vitola, it's pretty good value.
Yeah, I think my score is pretty much spot on. I thought it was kind of average flavors, below average in the final third, and just kind of average cigar overall. I mean, I thought the cigar was fairly ugly. It was really lumpy and bumpy, like you kind of alluded to.
Rustic is the word you're
very rustic.
For.
Now, if this was a cheroot, like in an old Western, that this would be a perfect fit for that. Yes. It was just, the veins were popping out. It was lumpy and bumpy, man. It was just, yeah. So, yeah, I just... perfect 5, mate. Right in the middle, average in every capacity, kind of how it goes. So, but getting back to what you were saying about the Vitola names, I think if you want to be creative, you just come up with something, some other name for the Vitola. You don't use an actual Vitola name and just go off the reservation. You don't call it a Corona when it's a Churchill, just to be funny. Yeah. So.
I mean, like I said, I get it if you've got a 54x6 or a 54x5, there's a few different ways you can go with that. But when you're right. When you're talking a very specific ring gauge and a very specific length, I mean, there are, when you fall into exactly what that Vitola is, that's what the Vitola is. I mean, if you want to call it something different, that's your prerogative, but you're wrong. I hate to say that. I don't, but you're wrong. Yep. So it'd be nice if the Vitola Council could get asked about some of these things and just remind people that a 7x45 is not a Churchill and a 6x52 is not a Robusto anything.
So, exactly.
Yeah.
All right. Well, if you're just catching this video on YouTube, be sure to subscribe to us. We'll also check out the full written review on the website, developingpalace.com. Be sure to follow us on all the social media channels, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and Google+. And you can catch all of our review recaps on podcasts, iTunes, Google Play, and Podbean. Thank you for tuning in. And if you missed June, make sure you let him know that he's supposed to be on all the cigar reviews and not skip out like a bum. But anyway, we handled it. So see you all guys later.
Part the guys.